Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up 500,000 in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter. I am a broker here at Daniels Trading. I work with speculators and hedgers, online trader, broker assisted. If you like Turner's Take Podcast, feel free to pass it along. I also write a newsletter. You can check that out at turnerstake.com, or you can text number 33777. That's 33777 with the message Turner, and you can get the newsletter that way too. If you're a client and like what we're talking about, or want to put something to work in the markets, let me know. If you're not a client and you're interested in being one and working with us, feel free to give me a call too. My number here is 312-706-7610. So let's jump into it. The Fed came out today and did not raise rates. I don't know. I think the Fed announcement today was a non-event. If you take a look at the markets, it's really, I think, about, you know, what's already happened with the Fed and their plans for stimulus, and the U.S. government, too, for stimulus and relief. And what we're just seeing is the U.S. dollar coming down, gold and silver going up. And I don't know why that trend wouldn't continue. The dollar index wouldn't be surprised if it made a run at 90. Gold in 2000, I guess, is in the cards if isn't already there. I don't think we've hit there yet, but we're getting close. And then we've got silver. You know, I've seen silver trade 25, 26. How much higher can it go? I don't know. We'll have to see. I mean, we're really getting lofty in the gold prices. You know, back in, I want to say 2011. You know, really when we were at probably the peak of the high valuation in metals from the subprime crisis and all the quantitative easing. Silver did get to $50 at one point, in an aftermath of all that. I don't think it's going to happen like that this time, because last time we had a systemic failure of the financial system. But there certainly is a lot of stimulus. The dollar is going to get weaker. There's going to be money flowing into the currencies, into the yen, probably into bonds too, out of the dollar. We are seeing money flowing into the stock market. The S&P is at about 3250. 3400 was the high, so we're only 4 or 5% off the all-time highs in the S&P 500. NASDAQ has been trading at all-time highs. You know, with the economy and COVID, it's going to, you know, switch to a more technology-based for a lot of different reasons. So that's where we are on a lot of these macro markets. What it means exactly for grain and livestock really remains to be seen. I think the lower dollar is going to definitely help, but you have to also question the demand side now too, especially if we start to see states getting a little bit more strict on the reopening plans. I know my state, Illinois, just announced today that for basically fall sports are canceled at the high school level, and also youth sports. Schools are going to go back to either half days or every other day, or some kind of home learning. And that has repercussions throughout the economy, especially with anyone who has to work, right? And then also has kids in school. So, you know, this isn't, the effects on the economy and how we live doesn't look like it's going to change between now and the end of the year. So we got to keep that in mind too, just in terms of demand and where we think the markets are going to go. So for now, I know people might say the stock market's overheated. Earnings today are looking pretty good. The Fed and the government's going to be supportive. It's hard to bet against it. I'm not saying you have to get all bulled up into it, but it is harder to get to, it is more difficult to bet against it and to be short here. because you can't fight the Fed and you can't fight the government. I mean, you just don't want to. They have more firepower than you, so you might as well stay out of the way. As far as the grains go, so the weather has definitely improved. The crop ratings on Monday improved. And I think the trade and the forecasts in August look pretty good. So a lot of people I talked to throughout the Midwest in farmers have all said, for the most part, the crops look at average to above average with very few problem spots. I mean, everyone could use a rain and everyone knows of or has maybe a little problem here and there, but nothing to get overly concerned about. So I'm starting to think not only are we at trend line yields, but we could be a little bit above it too. So on my tables for corn and soybeans, I ran through some of these scenarios. So let's take corn first. At 92 million acres and a 178.5, which is trend line, you know, we're at about a 2.6 billion carryout. That's what I have it estimated anyways. And I think the USDA would probably be the same way when we see the August WASDE. If we get a bump in the yield, let's say we're at 180.5, which is two bushels higher, which could definitely happen. I've been hearing a lot of these analysts coming out, and some of them get wildly optimistic about yields, and they may be right, but I think it's probably more close, at the end of the day, we're more closer to the trend line. So I have scenarios here for 180.5 and then a 182.5. And what does that look like? So just so everyone knows, if we are two bushels over the national average and we're at about 180.5, which isn't far-fetched. It's like about a 1% increase in trend line. Ending stocks go up to about 2.8 billion. If we should be four bushels up from trend line, we're at, again, unfortunately, an ending stocks of 3 billion. So that, in my mind, in terms of the USDA, and I ask myself, where's that 3 billion line on corn? It's probably somewhere around 182.5 on the yield. My best guess. In the ballpark, though, barring any major surprises from the USDA. If that's the case, like, so just so we're clear here, if we're around trend line, we're 2.6 billion. If we're about 180.5, we're at about 2.8. And if we're about 182.5, we're 3.0. Harvest lows, or the pressure that we'll see into the end of August and to the September WASDE, could have SEP corn $3, which could drag a December corn down to 3.10. If we're starting to talk about yields in the 180s, we could even then go below $3 in the front month. Think if we're more the trend line, it's going to be this, you know, $3 kind of holds. But we'll just kind of see where the market thinks we're going to be. I'll also say, there's going to be a lot of pressure coming in on the grain market. What we tend to see in August is the market accepts that the crop is made, that they have an idea of where the yields are within a couple of bushels. I can start to assume anyways. And they're going to start to price that in. Plus, as we get farther along in August, there are deferred price contracts, basis contracts, other cash and OTC contracts, HTAs, and either things have to be delivered, priced, something stored, have to figure out if they want to roll it. And as you get, and also on-farm storage, corn that hasn't been done anything on the hedging or marketing side, it's going to have to start getting cleared out for new crop. So that tends to really put some pressure on the old crop prices. So I've been writing about selling September, the front month, and then buying something in the deferred, playing the bear spreads that way. But also, if we get some rallies in these corn above 330, and we're thinking yields are 178.5 or higher, I mean, you can make a case that these corn then makes a run to 3. And while I'm not in love with selling, you know, 330 corn, basis decent in the cash market, if you can make 20 or 30 cents in the futures market and add that to your eventual cash sale, or even if you're just a speculator and want to play the seasonal in the corn market, that is something that you can look into. If you want any kind of specific trade rec, I'm happy to share some thoughts on what you can do in either selling futures or buying a put and selling a call or bear spreading. Just let me know. Happy to go over that. That's what it looks like. And when it comes to August, August traditionally is not the time to own corn and soybeans. Usually this is when these crops are getting made. And especially for corn, historically it does come down. And when you, if you do get rallies in August in corn, a lot of times it is because we're tight in U.S. crop stocks and we're tight in global stocks both. And if we're not, it tends to grind lower, which is what we're expecting here for the month of August. Now, once we do sell off, and I do think we will, there will be a time to cover and probably buy corn. Corn tends to make a seasonal low sometime between first notice day, which would be the last trading day of August, and that September WASDE. Seasonally, that's usually when it does it, because one, the two factors happen in the corn market. The seasonal selling pressure that happens goes on between, you know, in August and ramping up into first notice day. And two, when you get in that September, that early part of September, I was leading to the WASDE, the crop is typically made. People are, big crops get bigger. And in years where the crop is made and we're already coming down in August, we tend to go down a little bit more in September, especially if we think there's going to be an increase in yield or some kind of expectation of an increase in yield. And also there's cash sales going on at the same time. And once you get through the September WASDE, the shorts get lifted. You see more buying because all the bad news in corn has probably been priced in. And then we start to switch to demand. And when you drive prices low, they're usually competitive. And what's going to happen here when, let's say, corn does get down to around $3, it's going to be very competitive for ethanol. The margins should be pretty good. When corn gets down to those levels, especially like right now, especially compared to wheat, it's going to be a good option for feed. It is right now. I mean, if corn is about $2.10 under wheat in the December contracts, you get to $2.25, and then the difference between the two, I don't know who you need to feed, and corn and feed wheat are both available in your area. I don't know who picks feed wheat in that scenario. So that becomes very supportive. And I don't see wheat crashing either because there are issues in Europe and quality issues and protein issues. So I think wheat is most likely range bound here going in, which helps corn in that 225 differential. Again, we're still at 210. We still can go 15 cents down, 20 cents down with wheat chopping up and down. And corn wheat differential still 225. So, you know, it's just that there's just a lot of support I can argue for at $3 for corn right now. So not only do you have that, and also the dollar's coming down. So as the U.S. dollar comes down, corn and the price of corn comes down, corn just looks more and more attractive on the export market. So is it a reason to get uber bullish about corn? It isn't, but it is a reason. And if those things still hold in the beginning, end of August, and through the first half of September, a reason to probably want to be buying corn if for around $3. Because it just seems to me, unless we're at like 182 or higher on the yield, which could happen. We'll have to see what the analysts and the satellite people and everything say. But, as you know, and that has potential to drive corn down further. But at some point, just depending when we get a handle on what the yield side really is, there will be room for upside. So for now, we're going to be short in some way, shape, or other, with the expectation of not just covering at the end of August, early September, but also reversing and trying to get corn at some bargain basement prices. So that is the game plan there. I also am going to take a look at spreading corn versus wheat. But there's a lot of time between now and then. What could happen with the wheat crop? What can happen with the corn crop? But that is on my radar, that corn versus wheat spread. We all should keep an eye on it. So we are about 15 minutes into the podcast here. We're going to wrap this up with soybeans. So, and now I'm going to post my charts. I will post my my tables for corn, the supply and demand tables for what the yields look like and the carryouts. Soybeans, I'm hearing some very good things out in the country about soybeans. Expected yield, average yield, trend line yield from the USDA is around 50. We're hearing a lot about 51, 52s are possible. I think the good to excellent ratings on soybeans were above 70 on Monday, maybe even 71. That is not bullish. That is means the crop is going to get bigger. And for every bushel the yields increase, That's about 83 million we have to add bushels we have to add to the ending stock. So right now I have ending stocks with a trend line yield of around 440. If we have a 51 yield, we're about 524. Let's just call it 525. And then if we're at 52, we're just over 600. You know, just over 600 on soybeans is mid-eights, harvest lows, 840, 830. I mean, I don't think we're going down to 8 or sub-8 because there is also demand. And China is a good demand story. And I would also keep in mind, the USDA is already predicting in the balance sheets 400 million bushels more than last year on the exports. So we have to do even more than that to start to eat into this. And it could, but exports at over 2 billion are pretty high for soybeans. I mean, could we have a crush of like 2.16, 2.2 billion, and exports also go up to, you know, 2.1 billion, 2.2 billion? That's a lot of soybeans. I'd probably be making records on the demand side for the United States. So that's probably why we're seeing soybeans trade in this mid to high eights and not really being able to break out above 9. Because not only do the United States have soybeans, but the rest of the world has soybeans too. And last I heard, South America was getting pretty aggressive on forwarding, starting to sell next year's crop. They're getting profit margins of 30 or 40% if they're selling the deferreds on what they plan on growing next year, which is quite a margin. And I think they're at a very brisk pace of them selling next year's crop, which is just committing them more to having to plant it, right? So there is going to be probably more acres next year in South America than there were this year, and something that the U.S. and the world grain trade is going to have to cope with. So I'm not as bearish on soybeans as I am corn, but keep in mind, August is when beans get made. The harvest, the weather looks good. We're expecting trend line or higher on the bean market, and it's going to be this trading range where, you know, if we're at the lower end of the trading range, you know, we're testing 840, 850, soybeans look like a good value. When we get to $9 or higher, soybeans look heavy, especially if we're talking about a range of ending stocks between 450 and 600. And that's just the way it is. And it'll be seasonal too. So if we're going to play the seasonality of beans, you know, you probably have to be on the short side of this. I don't love being short beans. It's actually one of my least favorite markets to short, but there's nothing I can do about it. And if you wanted to get aggressive, or if you don't like the idea of being short soybeans, the time to buy them, again, would be towards the end of August or in September, looking for that kind of harvest rally and hopefully an uptick in Chinese demand. And I kind of like that too. We're going to be looking into that. So that is the game. That is our thoughts. I have scenarios for soybean ending stocks at 50, 51, and 52. If you're new to this podcast or me talking about the grain markets, just keep in mind for soybeans to be over $9, any kind of chance of a rally into 10, stock to usage needs to be below 10%, which means stock to usage has to be around 400, the ending stocks have to be around 400 million or lower. And we're talking 440 to 600. So we're talking 10% stock to usage to like 14% stock to usage. That is nothing to be concerned about on the supply and demand side, which is why we've got the prices where they are now. On corn, it's actually more bearish, where stock to usage at a trend line yield is about 18%. You know, at a 182 yield, we're practically 3 billion on the ending stocks, and stock to usage is 20%. And when you get stock to usage at 20%, if the market really believes that and we don't have a reason to rally, we're going to see corn. That's when corn can go below $3. All right. It really has everything to do we talk about either in my newsletter or on the podcast. All kind of filters into what's the ending stocks going to be, and finally what the stock to usage will be. 10% is the tight line. And we are nowhere near that, unfortunately. So, for corn, just to give you an idea, to get close to even the 10% line stocks usages on corn, we'd have to be sub 170 on the yield. And it sounds like we have a better chance of being 180 or higher nationally right now. And that is the deal. So that's how we're going to trade it. If you're a farmer and you're concerned about lower prices, there are ways to make nickels and dimes in August, especially as spec traders out there too. If you look for a little bit more action, I would turn my attention to the energy and the stock market and the metals. I still like live cattle on the dips in December. I still like hogs. I would like to see the price action be better. And we may have to revisit that if we can't charge higher on the hog market. So happy to talk to anyone. If you have any questions about what it's like to work with me, feel free to give me a call. If you're a client and want to put on some of these positions, give me a call. Shoot me a text. You have my cell. And if you are in some of these positions and want to go over, you know, what we're thinking and put a little bit more of a risk management around it, let me know. So everyone, have a great day. Have a great week. I'll be sending out an email with those tables and also posting them in the show notes. All right. Thanks a lot, everyone, for listening. And again, if you want to receive the newsletter, you can go ahead and text 33777, message Turner. You know anyone who'd like this podcast? Please send it along. And if you do like this podcast, always appreciate a review on iTunes. That is how a lot of people find us. All right. Have a good week, everybody.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniel's Trading Broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniel's Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniel's Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniel's Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.